So, I'm Mattias Wadman. I'm the author of this FQ tool. Now I'm going to do a show. I'm not going to be able to show all slides, I think. I want to do a lot of demo because I think it's a good tool to demo, so.
Sorry, can you talk a bit louder, please?
I can try. So what is FQ? It's a tool and a language and a group of set of decoders to work with data, more or less. It used to be binary data, but now it's also text data. But I guess it's binary also, so in a sense. So it's heavily inspired by JQ, both as a, well, it is JQ, the language, but it's also the CLI tool. It's inspired by how the arguments work and everything. And it's a tool for querying and displaying data, exactly like JQ. And but it also has an interactive REPL, so you can work with it in a more interactive way. And it has auto completion and a lot of other bells and whistles to make it very nice to work with. And it's available for a lot of operating systems. So I like to call it like it's like a debugger for files. That's how I use it. So why JQ? It's a very CLI-friendly language. You don't need any new lines. It's like the syntax is very, very terse. You can do a lot with a lot of little syntax. And it's very composable. You have this like pipe. It's like more or less like shell pipes. But it has these generators. You can even do loops and iterate and recurse with even this using this pipe. So you see these square brackets like that's to iterate and dot dot is to recursively through a tree of values, you can say. And it's also kind of like a DSL for like selecting and transforming JSON. You can call it JSON. It just happens to have JSON as input output, kind of. Internally, you can more or less call it like JQ values. It has arrays and objects and numbers and strings and bools. So it's kind of like a superset of JSON. And I have an example here that you build a new object that has a key A, that is an array, that is 1 plus 2 plus 3 and empty, and you see that it becomes the object with just A and the array 1, 5. And empty was just a function that does nothing. It outputs no value at all. And you can also select values from the input. So here we have the object with A and B, and then you create a new object that has the sum key, and then that's the sum of A plus B. So then it's 0.3. And it's a purely functional language, based on generators and backtracking. But it has conditionals, it has function, it has bindings, it has all things you need. And the default is that you have one JQ filter or program that you run individually on each input file. But then it has functions to tell it to not behave like that. So you can run one filter on a group of files, for example. And FQ has support currently for 113 formats. And it has most of them, I guess half of them are media related because I work with media. So just like MP3, MP4, OGG, FLAC. And they also have support for like demuxing some of these formats. Some of these containers, they have support for segmenting, I think. So you can kind of recombine it and then decode the demuxed sample and things. There have been other people have added other things. So executable formats, archiving, networking. So you can do PCAP nowadays. So you can do a TCP reassembly even, and even decode the TCP stream. So it has support for RTMP, for example. And it also has support for some serialization formats like MessagePack and ASN1Beer and CBOR and those. And it also has support for some text format. Some of them you can even decode and encode. So you can decode it into a JQ or JSON value, transform it with JQ, and then encode it back to some other text format. You can't do it with the binary formats. I will see if I get to that to explain why that is not easy to do. So what does it mean when you decode? What does it mean that your FQ support a format? It means that it can. There is some code. It's written in Go, so there's like a kind of a DSL for writing decoders, and that produces a structure that is like JSON compatible. But each value in this structure also have know which bit range they come from, and they also have optionally can have like symbolic mappings, like you can map a number to a string or a string to a string or a boolean to a. So you can in binary format you usually encode some number that means something, like this is the we will get to that. And for media, this usually means that it's you decode everything except the pixels or the audio, because it's like then you can use FFmpeg or whatever you want. There are some formats that actually decodes to the samples. FLAC, for example, we have support for actual decoding. So there is a full FLAC decoder in FLAC cube, but you can't listen to the sound. So and some formats can use other formats. That's how they are. There's like hierarchy of that they use. So you can use like a PPAC uses the Ethernet decoder using IPv. But and then you can even end up with the loops here, that they're like zip files in the zip file, and yeah. And there's also support for formats to pass. You can even return value. You can return like values from a decoder into another decoder, and you don't see this from the outside. But then, for example, MP4 has some boxes that have like information about how the samples should be decoded, like how long are some fields and things. So then MP4 decoder can pass that information down to another sample decoder. So how do I use? I use it because of this, because I work with media, so all, more or less the whole MP4 file is metadata about how to play this, how to seek, how to sync, how to, yeah, everything. And I guess Derek had a good talk about why this multimedia is basically an endless pain. And I guess FQ can't really fix the pain, but it can locate the pain, I guess. So this is what I use it for. I debug query assist when I work with media files, and it's used for someone, usually at work, there's a media file that has broken, that someone, it doesn't transcode, or it's not in sync, or, and they say, what is wrong with this file? And we have to figure out, like, what is it? Is it a decoder problem, demuxer problem, is it an encoder, is it corrupt, is it, well, whatever. So FQ is very useful to quickly triage a lot of broken media files. Let's see, and I can just what is the time? Short, like, what can it not do, or what is not good at? It's not good for encoding, like to change things. You can change things, but it's more about slicing binaries into and then concatenate them together and then write them out to a new file, kind of. So there's no, like, you can't just change the value in some JSON structure and just serialize it back, because it's like for example, I gave an example here with the MP4 muxer, but what would it mean to add or remove a sample in an MP4 file? Then you would have to change all the boxes that describe how big the samples are, and it just cascades away into, yeah. And you can see that MP4, FFmpeg's MP4 implementation is 17,000 lines of C code, very dense C code. So it's, use FFmpeg if you want to do those kind of things. And I think Jose and Peter will talk about more about encoding, I guess, and why this is complicated. You can repair media files with FQ, but you probably have to be more or less an expert in the format that you're fixing. I usually do, like, I have a you can fix things by kind of testing the code configurations, or you use some kind of, you encode something and borrow from another media file and somehow stitch together to see what it is. Or so there is, I have some FQ code to build like ADTS headers and whatever, for if you find an AAC frame somewhere and you don't even know what, because an AAC frame has to have metadata about like what, how many channels it has and what profile it is and things. And it doesn't do any decoders in runtime at the moment. You can't write the decoder, you have to write it in Go now and then compile it. So we'll see. Maybe in the future it will have KaiTai support. I have to have a prototype for KaiTai, but it is complicated. Also, it has an expression language. I have to write a parser for that. And yeah, maybe I will talk to you about this. See, there is more slides here, but I will. You can read. I want to do a demo instead. Is it big enough? So FQ is just a CLI tool. Works like this, and you can do, if you want to list all the formats that it supports. Let's see. So if you run FQ, and let's see, it has pcap. If you do, so the first argument is the filter that you want to run. And dot in JQ is just an identity function. That is just, it gives you what you put in, so you get the root, kind of. So here we see that it's a pcap, it has a header, it has packets, and some TCP VSMD or TCP connections and things. So you can do dash, I want to do a crash course in JQ. I don't know how many people know how JQ works. So I can do a short version, how, just to show the particularities of JQ. So now I started JQ with dash I, which gives you just a null input. So you get one input that is just null. So it's just a way of, so you can at least just execute JQ values. Because it needs to have an input somehow, always. So now you can just write strings or whatever you want to do. And if you do dot there, you just null. And I guess the most special thing about JQ is the comma operator, and that outputs a value. So you can do 1, 1, 2, 3. It gives you 1, 2, 3. But then in JQ, you can. There are some special forms like this collect, which sounds, this looks very familiar to as an array that then collects those values into something. But then in JQ, you could just write the expressions here, or whatever you want. So let's say we can define a function, for example. So, and then you can just collect that function, or you can call it two times, or you can map those values. Yeah. So you see how. Maybe it was too fast to. But you see how you can define function, you can have bindings. So it's a full function language. It's very, I like it a lot, how it works. So let's back to that pcap file. So let's see, you can do, for example, if you want to see, look at the first packet, you can do this. You can pipe it to D, which is a, shows more recursively all the, like if you just give it, when you do this you actually run D also, but it also show, it only showed one level. So if you do D, it will show all of it. So here you can see, like, you can write an JQ expression here that is like, show me the first and the last packet, and it will do this, and then you can say both of them. Yeah, so you can do things like that. So let's see, we can go into the TCP connection, and we take the first one, and we can do D, and we see that this is a time, so it seems to be an HTTP request. Someone has downloaded the file. So let's see, we can go to the server stream. Let's see, and there's one thing about JQ is that the JQ doesn't have binary support. It only has strings. So FQ has to support binary. There is some special functions in FQ to tell it that this string is actually binary, or I want it as binary if it's possible. So then you can say, like, this string, for example, if I would just do type here just a string, but if I do 2 bytes, you will actually get the raw bytes. And then I can say, like, I want the 2, maybe 400 first. And DD is something that shows the whole. It doesn't truncate the output. So here we see that this is some kind of HTTP request. Let's see. Let's Dodge. It doesn't end. Plus 7. So let's say we want to get the bites for this. Okay, plus. So here I think I have the body of the HTTP request. So in JQ you can more than do, for example, this, that all decoders in FQ are JQ functions. So you can do this now, and it will just decode it as an MP4 file. So now you can start a sub-REPL, for example, and now you're inside the MP4, inside the PCAP. And now you can do... and here you have the whole box tree for the MP4 file. And you can, for example, go into the samples. I think this is some kind of subtitles MP4 file that I found somewhere. Here you have the tracks that has samples. So this is like the raw bytes for that sample. And you see it's some kind of weird XML subtitle. And FQ has support for XML, so you can do this. And then you get a JSON version of the XML. Let's see, I can write something that takes out all the... This is probably not how you write the TTML subtitle parser, but we can do a quick version of one. There is some functions like grepby that recursively look for some condition. So here, for example, we can look for... did not work. Why? Let's see. This should be XML. So now it recursively defined all those text, the objects that had the text field, and then just took that text field. So now you can, for example, take this expression, go out to the... Where did we have the REPL? Here. And then we can even go out to the prompt again, and then remove the interactive, and then do this instead. Or you can do this if you only want to have text. And we can even, let's say we want all samples. So here is all the, that's the thing you can do with all these decoders that decodes and blah, blah. And then JQ can iteratively do all this. It's like, it's nice. So let's see. And I also want to show that you can actually... You don't have to write all this. After a while, your expression starts to get very long, so you want to have more structures. I can show you. I have some helpers for MP4 files, for example. Maybe you know I spend a lot of time in MP4 files, because that's like what is used everywhere nowadays. So here is some helpers, for example, that can be written in a more structured way, like with the indentation and things, so you don't go crazy when you... And I can show here, for example, this is a bit long, but for example, here is an expression that loads this mp4.jq, and it finds the video track, and then it uses some JQ code to produce a gnuplot output, and then it uses gnuplot, and then I have my weird tool I have for producing images in the terminal. So here's the bitrate for the video, bits per second in this video. And you see that there's probably these tops here up over the iframes in the MP4 file. Maybe we can take questions then. I think. Yes?
You can make a decoder, or can you use it like in a graphic text editor as well?
Yeah, you can use it as a hex editor also. Maybe it's not very convenient as a hex editor, but you can, for example, you can do dash d bytes or bits. Then you get like it's just a dummy decoder kind of. So you can do, for example, bytes file.bcap. Okay. So, so now you just get bit. So now you can do. So, and then you can concatenate this into. You can kind of you can build this like a binary arrays, like one. They are like IO lists in Erlang, if you have used that. That you can like you it's just an array with things that can become binary, and then it can and you can kind of pipe this to 2 bytes, and then you get back. So you can kind of like do this. You can. Yeah, maybe you don't see it now. Yeah, so you see that you can build this. That's how you can repair things with FQ. That you take the samples and then you add on some header, and then you concatenate the bytes. And you can even decode it with JQ again. So you can, I mean, you could try decode this as an MP3 file, for example, but it won't work. Yes.
You talked about the DSL to make new decoders. Is it easy to add new? And do you plan to also add something for K-type the next code?
I would like to have some more runtime version. I can show how. There's one of the slides show actually how the DSL. How the Golang DSL looks like. Yeah, here is how kind of how the Go DSL works. That you there's like a D function that is kind of like the context for that keeps track of where you are, and then you create like new structs and fields and you have these mappers that say like. This is a binary for made up binary format for open source licenses that I was going to demo, but so that's how most of the code looks like. So you can write any Go code. I mean, I prefer to write them to make them look very declarative, like so don't use too much weird code in there. Keep them simple is the. Any other questions? Yes. It's I would say the it's probably hard to across to write the code to the, I think it creates a lot of options. How what does the user mean when they change something? Like do they want Yeah, it's also like do you want the checksums to be recalculated or not? Do you want what happens if you change something in a, if you have demuxed something and then you change the size, so now the segmenting becomes different, so then it cascades to change the whole file. So it's like, do you want that to happen? It's also like there are encodings that are there are like many ways to encode the same integer, for example. Var ints can be encoded in many ways. So you would the encoder then normalize all that, or should it behave? Should it remember? Try to remember how the original thing was decoded. Yeah. So it's complicated. Any other questions?
Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you.